Good afternoon, and it's great to be back to New Heart Mission Church. Now, there was a very special and meaningful service in Wales on the 1st of October last year. And this is about, that was actually, it was a memorial service to mark the 150th anniversary of the martyrdom of the Reverend Robert Germain Thomas, who came to Korea as the first missionary way back in 1865 and 66. And as you can imagine, on that day, and that memorial service, the Christians and leaders and Christians of Wales and also from Korea gathered together. We had a two-day celebration. And at that time, actually, I was very honored to preach at this very special service. And as I was preparing my message, the verse came into my mind was, the next verse shows, this what verse. Now, this is from Job 17, verse 11. It said, "My days are past and my purpose are broken off, even the thoughts on my heart." Now, this is wording which is engraved on the plaque to Reverend Thomas at his memorial church. As you walk into that church, on that side it is written. Now, as you can imagine, who will choose this verse or this kind of verse to be a statement on the plaque or a tombstone? But I was there. And that shows the disappointment, that reflects the disappointment and sadness of his early death, very premature death. Now, quite understandable for those who heard about the brevity of his stay in Korea and also the minimal missionary work he did in Korea due to his premature and very tragic ending of his life. I talked about martyrdom, and actually Thomas was beheaded upon arrival. You heard the story of our Korean history? Now, Reverend Thomas visited Korea from China twice, on two occasions. First one was on the 3rd of September, 1865. He came to Korea to the western coast by a small ship because he was the first missionary to China. And there he heard there is a country, a small country called Joseon, and he heard there's no Christians at all in that country. So somehow the Lord laid upon his heart a burden and passion to go to this hidden country to the gospel. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, he arrived, and he was there for 2.5 months. And of course, there's no Korean Bible at that time, but he brought some copies of Chinese Bible to distribute in Korea at that time. And of course, he couldn't speak Korean at all. Now, the Catholic missionaries were there earlier, who could speak in Korean. So actually, he's learned some Korean language from this Catholic missionary. Well, he was there for 3.5 months. How much can you learn? But nevertheless, he learned something. And with his very broken Korean, he talked to people, "Please, you know, trust in the Lord, that Jesus loves you, Jesus died on the cross for you." And also he wanted to distribute the Chinese Bible to the Koreans whom he met. But at that time, as you may know, the situation at that time, we were very against any influence from the West. And because of that, the associating with the foreigners, especially the Westerners, itself was already a criminal act. Therefore, Koreans were avoiding him. So he was there for 2.5 months, but he could do a very little. He was a missionary of London Mission Society, and to his mission, he wrote a report, and that report is still there. We can read it today. And in his report, he said, "I could distribute a book or two." This is a quotation, "a book or two. That was all he could do during his first visit to Korea for 2.5 months. He came back to Korea a year later. Now this time, he came with an American commercial ship called General Sherman. And he came as an interpreter for this American commercial ship, which means actually he returned to China and he stayed there for a year, and during this 1 year time, I think he learned Korean quite a lot. Now to become a translator, he came. But again, as I said, the Korean at the time, the Joseon dynasty, was very much against the Western culture or Western invasion. They thought it was an invasion. And therefore, as the ship was coming up to Daedong River of North Korea now, near Pyongyang, the Korean soldiers attacked, set on fire, the ship was burned, and they captured as many as Americans, and this Thomas was captured as well. And as he was coming near to the shore, as you can see, there's so many people gathered around to see what is happening. And when he come closer to the crowds, he could throw the Bibles away to the onlookers with his broken Korean, yet encouraging people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got his last copy in his hand, and he was made, knelt down, and there was a soldier with a huge sword, and he gave this last copy to him. And this man was a bit hesitated, but because of the commander's command, he beheaded him on that day. That was the 3rd of September, 1866, just 4 days before his 27th birthday. Now, who are here 26 or 27? Just imagine you were in that situation. So, young man, his earthly life ended there and then. His effort to bring the light and the love of Jesus Christ to the Koreans seemed to have ended in total failure. Some of those in Wales that many years ago heard this tragic news. Of course, not straight away, perhaps some months later. And when they realized that was the reality, they might have thought, what a waste. A young, promising man, a Welsh man, went to Korea, which is a tiny country where we do not know even where, and he gave his life there. That sentiment is reflected in the choice of the scripture verse engraved on the plaque to Reverend Thomas. I was very sad. I visited this church a few times, well, several times, and one day I preached at the church as well. That was the 4th of September, 4th of September, 2012. He was killed on the 4th of September, 1866, and that was a very special Sunday. And whenever I go there, I read that again. This, I read over and over again. And I was very sad to read this verse. And I was overwhelmed with the desire to tell those who made this plaque that they had not seen the whole picture. I wanted to tell them, to those who chose this verse nearly 100 or 150 years ago, that you have seen only a part of what God is doing in history. God, who has an eternal purpose. They couldn't see even 100 years, or even they couldn't see even 50 years. They must have not heard that the Chiryang, or Choi Chiryang, who received a copy of the Bible from Thomas during his first visit, how many Bibles did he distribute? A book or two. And Choi Chiryang is one of them who received this. Later on, he founded a church in Pyongyang, which he called later on the Jerusalem of the Orient. And also those who chose these verses. You can show that next one. the Hong Sin Gil, who received the Bible when just before he was captured. He also started a church, the Saga Church. And most of all, the soldier who beheaded Thomas was become the elder of Pyongyang Church. Those who made this plaque didn't hear all this. And because of that, they have chosen that sad verse from the entire Bible. They could not see how God would bless Korean church. They couldn't foresee that the Korean Protestant church would become one of the most vibrant and growing churches in the entire church history. They couldn't foresee that one day the largest church in the whole world in history so far would be in Korea. They couldn't foresee that this Korea will send 27,000 missionaries and become the second largest missionary sending country in the world. They couldn't foresee that. And this is really remarkable how God planned to start the Korean church and bless her with the gospel by raising this young man from a very small village of Hlanova in a tiny country of Wales. And God knew right from the beginning that the blood of the Reverend Thomas would be the foundation of the Korean church. Just as God has promised in Isaiah 55 verse 11, that is so true in the life of Reverend Thomas. The word says, "My word that goes out from my mouth will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So the word of God, which the Reverend Thomas distributed with a broken Korean and with a Chinese Bible, and still bear fruit after some years. It's just incredible. Likewise, the life in God's purpose is never wasted, but fulfills His purpose. It channels God's blessing to other people. 150 years on, who will say that the Reverend Thomas wasted his life? Who will say that his purposes and desires were broken off? So at that memorial service last year in October, I had an opportunity to talk to the Welsh Christians. That it was not wasted. Your Welsh son didn't waste his life in Korea. So actually to them, I rephrased the wording on the plaque. Or we cannot change it because it's a historical material. We must keep it. But I put it this way. Though my days are past, my purpose is to bring the gospel to the Koreans are certainly fulfilled. The desire of my heart to see Koreans worshiping the Lord Jesus are eventually fulfilled. As we all know, the Reverend Thomas did not see any of his ministry, the fruit of any of his ministry during his lifetime. And many thought at that time that it was a disastrous ending and total failure. But God didn't see that way, because God knew exactly what he will continue to do so after the Thomas evangelistic effort, however minimum he has done. God acknowledges and appreciates the effort of the sowers. God could see the whole thing from 1866 until today and even beyond, as far as Korean church is concerned, or any, or even your individual lives as well. So we are often see only this small part in time. We need to understand how God works. Likewise, in evangelism as well, where Reverend Thomas shared the gospel to the Koreans. Now, that we can see how God works, the principle or the attitude or the strategies of God's heart from our passage today. In verse 34 and verse 35, it says, "Do you not say, don't you say, there are 4 more months to go and then the harvest? But I tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Jesus talks about the spiritual harvest. He means about evangelism. Now, what is evangelism? Evangelism is sharing the good news. Well, then what is good news? Okay, what would be the good news for a beggar, for example, for beggars? What would be the good news for the beggars? Yeah? Which means the good news is there is food available for you. That is good news, isn't it? What would be the good news for the prisoners? Yeah? The news that now you may go out. You may leave the prison. Your term is over, or your time cut short, or your sins are forgiven. Also then, so what would be a good news for the sinners? Well, the prison saying that is your sins are forgiven. And this is what we want to do. This is good news. We want to share the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the cost for your sin, and therefore he now say you are released. Your sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That is the good news. We want to just share that. Now, this is, the Bible says, the gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What is the nature of our gift which we received? Eternal life. Eternal life. Now, you go and ask people, the rich people, real rich people here, what do you want to do? What would be the best desire you want to have? They want to say, I want to live 1 more year. I want to live 10 more years. The Bible says God gave us the gift of eternal life. Then we need to go and tell people that eternal life is available for you. That is good news for those who are so desperate to live 1 more day. And also, you know, when you receive a special gift on your, for example, on your birthday or Christmas day, then what do? Do you have such experience? You receive something, and you say, thank you very much, Mom. And then you put down in your drawer, never take it out in the whole year. Yeah? You never done that, because you're all good people. But sometimes we do. Then, actually, what kind of message do we give to our moms and to those who gave us the present? Well, we do not say so, but we certainly come across the message that is, well, this is not really the gift which I expected. Or, this is not that precious gift I can be proud of. Now, when we receive such a gift from God, the forgiveness of sin, to become the children of God, to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and also us, you know, to have the Holy Spirit, and all these things are a tremendous gift. And if we do not tell others that we have received this, that means actually we only keep to ourselves. Then indirectly, or maybe directly, talking to God, say, God, the gift which you gave me is not that great one. It's not really needed one. I do not really appreciate it. Because as long as we do not use it, as long as we do not go and others to tell them what we received, that kind of indirect message we give out. Now, one of the reasons why Christians do not get involved in evangelism is that we do not see the need of evangelism. We do not see the need of others to become Christians. Or we do not see the spiritual condition of those who do not know Jesus Christ yet. And so the Bible says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Which means actually, you look at the fields with from my eyes or from my perspective. And or you look at the fields from your spiritual eyes. Then you will see the reality of it. Now, when you hear, as we live here, when you open your eyes and see what is happening in America, then you may want to do something about it, actually. Because here in America, so many people, especially the Caucasians, turn away from God. Exactly happening in our country, the United Kingdom. United Kingdom and Europe has become a serious mission field these days. The harvest is plentiful because so many people are to be harvested, and therefore we need more manpower to go and to reap the harvest. And here in America as well. And that's why actually, well, I could see that the Lord showed me. This is a very simple one, you know. When I was on the Doulos, which is a floating missionary community sailing around the world, the Doulos is only 2 years younger than the Titanic, so it's famous. And my wife and I were on board the ship for altogether 12 years. We could visit about 90 different countries. And especially during my directorship on board the Doulos, which was the international community, missionary community of 350 people from 50 different nations. And during those times, the Lord opened my eyes. That was this. The Church of Christ is growing everywhere around the world. Still, Christianity is the number one religion in the world today. The church is growing in Africa, in the Middle East, Latin America, China, Central Asia, everywhere. Except one place, one continent. That is Europe and Western Europe. Among the people group, it is without exception among the Caucasians where the church is going down. New Zealand, Australia, Canada, America, and Western Europe. Then it's very clear to me where I go and work. Now for us, you know, missionary means the mission usually, historically and traditionally, the missionary work from a fairer skin color to the darker skin color. That was a mission, wasn't it? From a richer country to the poorer country. That was a missionary work. But now we are going against that tide. And the Lord gave me a thought that was, because there are so many churches being closed down in the United Kingdom. So one particular denomination opened 4 churches between 2008 and 2013 for 5 years. As a whole denomination in the whole country, they planted 4 churches. At the same period, they closed down 813 churches. This is happening in the United Kingdom. Just a couple of years ago. The thought came into my mind was, the best way to make the mountain green again when many old trees die is to plant new trees and to cultivate them well. So the Lord gave us a vision to start a small church planting school. And we are now in the 6th year doing that. And Pastor Paul comes every year to teach. And that way I appreciate for New Heart Mission Church to release him to come and train our people. And our graduates go out and plant churches. Now, another reason people not doing evangelism comes from an understanding that God will, understanding that is actually, evangelism means leading people to make decision for Christ. The spiritual harvest means actually leading people to make decision to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe so? That's true.
Yes.
It's not, it is true, but it is not totally true. If we only understand evangelism as leading people to Christ, spiritual harvest, or even leading people to church, we make a great mistake to undermining the importance of sowing. The harvest starts from sowing. Without sowing, there is no harvest. In fact, not just sowing, but before sowing, you have something to do. The ground is so hard. You need to take up your pickaxe and you need to hit the hard ground. And you need to smoothen the ground, take some stones out, weeds and plants out. That is all part of harvest. But we think that evangelism is leading people to Christ. So you go out to share the gospel and people give you all kinds of objections, raise all kinds of questions, and you cannot answer them, right? You know, or sometimes people shout at you, close the door right at your nose, and all kinds of hard time you give. What do you do? You feel very miserable, right? Very disappointed. But the New Heart Church people say, well, you know, we must do it again, you know, perseverance. So you pray hard and you go out again. And the same experience. Very heavy legs, you come back home. And the pastor Paul says, let's do it again, or you do it again, and you're coming back, and again, you know. And then you come to a conclusion. The conclusion is, that's right. Evangelism is only those people who have a special skills or special gift and special calling. Not for me. I'll be quiet from now on. I'll be faithful in church services. But not talking about Jesus to other people. Do you think that is the right way? No. Jesus corrects that understanding. In verse 36 and verse 7, he says this, now even the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. Which means, actually, Jesus said here, there are at least two stages, the sowing stage and reaping stage. There are at least two people, sower and reaper. Which means both are very important in God's ministry and in evangelism. But because we think that the evangelism is leading people to make decisions for Christ, which means actually we expect the people, when you share the gospel, they kneel down before you, dripping their tears, and they make decisions for Christ. Then you come back and say, great, you have great victory. But otherwise, you feel that you failed on that day. But this is not the case. This is not the case. And because we think that we understand evangelism in that way, we think that God will appreciate and recognize and appreciate the reapers more than the sowers. And again, Bible says, it's not true. It's not true. Verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done hard work, and you have reaped the benefits. You have reaped the benefits of others. Others' hard work. Which means here, it says this. There are two groups of people. Okay, he said, I have sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Which means there are people who harvested. Yes? And there's another group of people. There's others. Who are the others? The others have worked hard. And Jesus said, those who harvested did not really work, but you just participated in others' hard work. I hope you really understand. I hope I can explain that you understand this. Now, we need to find out, actually, whom Jesus praises more. Whose hard work Jesus recognizes, acknowledges more. That is, actually, Jesus said, others worked hard. You who reaped the harvest didn't work that much hard. You only participated in others' hard work. And sometimes we feel that, you know, we haven't done great work on evangelism when we do not really harvest any soul. But Jesus said, no, no, no. No. So look at the Thomas case. Thomas, he didn't reap any harvest at that time. But he simply sowed the seed. He sowed the seed, not much, just a little bit. But in the meantime, God continued to work and send other people, continue to talk those who are already touched by the effort of Reverend Thomas. And later on, Choi Chul-young and Hong Sin-gil and Park Chun-gun, they become a very important people in Korean Christian history. Now, wouldn't it be nice, you know, if somebody comes to know Christ after just, you know, in your very initial first contact? Would it be nice? But that's not usually not the case. According to Billy Graham Association, who specializes on evangelism, they said there's average 21 times of the evangelistic contacts if any one soul come to know Christ. 21 contacts. So when you meet somebody in New York and talk to somebody, and that person, we do not know in which stage we meet him. Maybe the first time. No wonder he said, no. He says, go away. And maybe on the 15th, average 21 means that some people, you know, they turn to Christ after 50th contact. Some people make contact, come to know Christ after 100 times. I used to distribute gospel tracts. I think the best way for you to do evangelism in a short time is just handing out gospel tracts. Carry it with you. And I used to hand it out. And in the past, when people throw this away, when I gave them, it's the throwaway, I was not comfortable. I was unhappy for that, actually. But nowadays, I don't care. In my mind, I say, why don't you throw away 21 times? And believe in Jesus on the 22nd time. Yeah. And the evangelism is just need to be a part of our life. You don't have to set aside a special time to the evangelism. Well, sometimes we need it. But it was just so, didn't spend any time, you know. I checked in in United Airlines, in Heathrow Airport. The lady was so kind to me. I said, thank you very much. You know, you have been very kind to me. I don't know how to, you know, repay this except say thank you. But I have this. I have something good news for you. And she said, what is this? I briefly explained. Oh, that's really, I will read it during my break time. Okay, thank you very much. I went on. There was a security lady, asked me a number of questions. Why do you go to America? How long do you stay? All these things. And I explained this. And then I said, by the way, perhaps you may not believe that I'm a minister. Christian. So I'll give you this. Then you will believe that I really go to New York to preach. She said, oh, really? Yesterday, we walked or hiking about 3 hours. in the Seven Lakes. And I think I met about 10 people along the way, and including some Koreans too. Now, Michael Jordan is the best American football legend, isn't he? He said this, and perhaps you know better. He said this: I missed 9,000 shoots, and my team lost 350 games. Wow. Well, number one, he's a very humble man. So he's saying, say so. But at the same time, I also thought, well, this will be the case on evangelism as well. Because the missed shoots are the part of on course to success. If you miss 9,000 times of evangelism cases, you may become the best evangelist in the world. And you will win a lot in the meantime. Did the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist ever, always won the souls whenever he shared the gospel? No. He was rejected more than anybody else. He was put into prison more than anybody else. But he was become such a successful evangelist because he did so many times. He missed a lot, but still he could score many as well, like Michael Jordan. And we, sometimes in evangelism, when we go out, and if we miss fire five times, we just already discouraged. We gave up. Right? And also thinking that whenever we do, we must win the harvest, which is not the case. But God uses all of that. You talk to somebody, and you couldn't lead him to Christ. But you just go away. You never meet him. But somebody else come to him. God will send somebody else to him next time. And again, it didn't work. Next time, God will send somebody else. And in so doing, God will say, the word that goes out from my mouth will never return empty. Now, we are living in an instant age. Instant. Everything must be done instantly. The coffee, of course, yes? And food. The Koreans especially, they cannot wait long in the restaurant. If food must be served instantly or straight away. And when we open a business, we want to get the profit instantly. Well, you know, we're meeting people instantly, we're married instantly. And so in our Christian life as well, when we pray, we want instant answer to prayer. In evangelism, we want to get instant result from our evangelism. This is not the case. Think about Reverend Thomas. Think about Abraham. God promised Abraham that I will give this land to you and to your descendants. But actually, when his wife died, he didn't have any piece of land to bury his own wife. And God's promise was not fulfilled during his lifetime. Only some 450 years later, 470 years later, Joshua and the Israelites could enter the promised land and conquer the land. God works with a big spectrum. Naomi went Moab with an American dream, or Moab dream, want to do something, have a really successful life in Moab. And what happened to her in Moab? She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She lost everything. There's no other choice but her to return to Israel as a complete failure. You can imagine. But when she was coming back, one of the two daughters-in-law, Ruth, said, "Mother, I would like to go with you. I want to serve your God as my God. Your people will be my people." Well, the Bible doesn't tell us this. But why could she say so? I think this way. When Ruth saw,
I just had to see, put a cast around it.
Okay. Sorry, it's okay, don't worry. I'm almost finished. Can you hear me? No? Okay, that's fine. When Ruth saw Naomi coping the situations, when her husband died and her two sons died, and Ruth was very impressed the way how Naomi coped. Naomi couldn't do very much at all, right? But at least she influenced this lady, Ruth. So she came together with Naomi back to Israel. Then God continued to touch the life of Ruth through Boaz this time. And later on, Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David. Now, just like we cannot say Thomas' life was a failure, just like that, who can say Naomi's life was a failure? She touched one soul, one life, and that one life blessed so many people. And that will be your case as well. The Lord will use you. He brought you here in America with the American dream or many other things. And sometimes we feel that we're not achieving very much. But it's not the case. God will use you. Even you touch one life and you do not see the result of your work here on earth during your lifetime. And nevertheless, God works and God continues to work because He knows and He will not bring your effort to become empty. He will coordinate it. He will coordinate it. And because of that, we need to share the gospel in season and out of season. Because we don't know what season this person in front of me is at the moment. And we want to share the gospel in this way or that way because we do not know what way would be the best way for this particular soul in front of me. Brothers and sisters, God wants to use you. God brought you. He made you the fishers of men. He made you the witness of Jesus Christ. He made you the ambassador of Christ. There are different descriptions, different titles, so-called. But God will use you. And through your lives, many lives will be changed. Even sometimes you feel that you do not achieve much. But don't say so. Just keep on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through the word and also your lifestyle. The seed of the gospel will be sown in the hearts of people. And many you will meet up in heaven as a result of your ministry. God bless you. Let's pray together.